Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Life. Maybe that's a little better. Jesus got a hold of somebody, and now they want to make a public confession that I'm walking in Him. Amen. Aren't you glad that He got a hold of you? Aren't you glad He called you, that He brought you out, that He saved you, that He redeemed you from the hand of the enemy? Aren't you so glad you've been born again? Luke chapter 1, let me rephrase that. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. It came to pass that he was praying in a certain place when he seized one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. These next few words are some of the saddest in Scripture. And I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are now in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he ask for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your promise, for your grace and your truth. God, today as we break the bread of life, help us to do a good job in a little bit of time. But God, as hearers, Lord, let us hear what you're trying to say, understand, believe, and apply it to our life. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, we pray. Give somebody a high five beside you and you can sit down. Brother Eddie taught us years ago, Brother Shane, that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus did many miracles. He did many great things, but they didn't ask him to teach them how to do those things. They said, teach us how to pray. They must have understood that there was a direct correlation to his prayer life and the power that he had. Can you say amen? Because a church or a person that doesn't pray is a powerless person. We are dressed up in the armor of God. We've been given the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, our shoes, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've been given all of those things and we're dressed up in the armor to stand. And then after we get all of that armor, he says, pray. I want to insert this into your thinking. If you are not praying, you're not even on the battlefield. There are things that are being decided all over this world, and I'm telling you, if you're not praying about them, then you're not even on the battlefield. But God has given us this thing called prayer, an ability to speak to Him, an ability to talk to Him, an ability to change things around us. The Bible says it like this: it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. If you're going through your Christian walk and you're not praying, you're not even having an effect of what goes on in the heavenlies. There is a world that is real. We may not know much about it, but it's real nonetheless, and it's the realm of the spirit. There are forces of darkness at right now at war with forces of light. And I'm going to tell you this, Stephen, it's up to us to pray to decide which way the outcome comes out. We've got people's souls that are hanging in the balance, and we have been given this thing called prayer so that we can intercede, we can interject, and we can have a voice to the outcome. You are the bride of Christ, and you've been given the ability to pray. If your prayer life is boring, you're praying wrong. We're having all these things all over the country, and I don't want to get into all of it, but we've got seminar after seminar after seminar trying to get people unhooked off of this and hooked and off of that, and we got people looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at, and we've got men's meetings trying to get guys to quit scrolling on these websites, and we got, you know what? I got a new attitude. Here's what I'm going to tell people. Why in the world would you look at that junk when you could pray and see angels? Why in the world? We got to give some kind of alternative. Do we realize what? I mean, I'm talking in the Old Testament. They would walk along and all of a sudden see a man standing there with the sword drawn. Are you on our side or his side? When's the last time you seen that? What, you think those guys retired and they're not doing anything anymore? I'm here to tell you they're just as real now as they were back then. And it's time for the church to interject into the spirit realm and make some things happen. Can you say amen? There are families that are addicted by certain things. Strongholds is the term we use. Sometimes you got to be careful. If you drank too much, it might be because your daddy drank too much, and it might be because Papa drank too much. If a man chases women, it might be because his daddy was a woman chaser and his grandpa was a woman chaser and his great-grandpa chased women. You got to be careful because there are strongholds that set up in families. It's a spirit that runs through. Some people, some families are just riddled with a pill addiction. Some people are just riddled with alcoholism. It's just a stronghold that's set up in families. But there comes a point when you can overcome those strongholds and you can pull down the high places to where it doesn't pass past you and you stop it all completely in your family. I don't know about you, but I look at my family tree and there's a whole lot going on in that family tree that should have had me, that should have been my demise. But Dustin, I found out about another tree, about a Savior that died on that tree. And when He died on that tree, it liberated me from every gene pool that existed. Now I'm bone of His bone and I'm flesh of His flesh. We got to understand the power that we have in prayer. They said, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, give God some honor. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I want to say this again. If you ever text me, don't text me OMG. I get mad at you. If you text me, take a second to capitalize God or Jesus. Whichever one you choose to call Him, make sure they're capital when you send it to me, or I'm going to get upset at you. Because maybe you don't know this, but when the Hebrews would write the name Yahweh, they wouldn't even write the whole name because it was too holy. The scribes would get up when it came time to interpret His name and go wash and change clothes. That's how holy His name is. He said, hallowed be Thy name. You know what we need in our country? Some more respect for who God is and how great He really is. Amen. He said, you got to give Him some respect. That will be done in heaven as it is in heaven, so in earth. We got to start praying this. We really got to start praying this. I want to get this out of your thinking. Our goal is not to get to heaven. Maybe harder than I thought to get it out of your thinking. I said our goal as believers is not to get to heaven. Where you at, Landon? Remember? If that's the case, then we just come to the altar and then we shoot you. Hey, you're going to make it. Your goal is to make it to heaven. You come to the altar, you repent. Our goal is to bring heaven to earth. No, we got to get this. Because we're all sitting around singing about the rapture and waiting on the blessed hope. The blessed hope is already here. It's Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. And it's not about getting out of here. It's about getting him to where we are so that God's kingdom can do what it was designed to do. Are you with me? The church needs to be more fervent than she's ever been because we are fighting a battle that is short. When you think you got a lot of time, you move slower. Amen? When you think you got a lot of time, you move slower. Well, you don't have a lot of time. And I do believe that God wants us to be fervent about what we are doing. You ever dealt with somebody that just moves slow? Got to be careful, but there was a guy on a fuel truck, and he was union. I'm just saying. And he would be facing you and would turn to get something from his truck. Let me show you how this goes. No. If I was going to get some, I'm not making this up. Who's getting steps in? It was one step, and he turned it into a 42-point turn. You know why? Because he didn't operate the same way I operated. Do you want to know why? Because he was there to beat in an 8-hour shift. My whole thing was based on how many feet can you get today? You're not listening to me. We live in a world of Christians that think they got all of this time and they're just going to beat their time in until they get to heaven. I'm here to tell you, this is not my goal. My goal is not to just beat in the rest of my Christian life so that I'll get a payday. Payday. Payday is coming after a while. I want my payday right here. I want souls for my labor. I want deliverance for my labor. I don't want to wait till I get there. I want to get it done so that we can have God move the way he wants to move. And the church needs some fervor. Amen. Hit the person beside you and say, we need fervor. Some of y'all didn't even hit him. You just looked at him really nicely. Good job, Brittany. We need to wake up. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout. I'm going to sing and shout before I get there. I'm not waiting on it to happen. It's already happened. Yes, I'll see you in the rapture. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'm going to tell you, when you're going to be moving so fast, you ain't going to see nobody in the rapture. It's just going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Hey, that don't work like that. I want to see it here. I said, I want to see it here before I get there. I don't know what you think, but they talk about if we do some works, we're going to get jewels in our crown, and we'll have this crown, and they're going to throw the crown at his feet, and we're going to be blessed. And and I don't know about you, but you may be okay with a little tiny crown. I want to walk into his presence because he's worthy of us getting it done right now. Did y'all hear that in there? Y'all good, Jason? You hear me good? Should I? It's time for us to get some fervor, because he said, when you pray, listen to this. He immediately goes into a parable. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Listen to this. And forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. If you haven't forgiven people, you don't need to leave here today until you change that. Well, I tell you right now, preacher, I tell you right now, I forgive them, but I will not forget. I'll forgive them. I won't forget nothing they did. I love them. I do love them, but I don't like them. I love them, but I hate their ways. Quit putting disclaimers on it, man. God forgave you. Forgive them. No, he forgave you. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. Of all your idiocracy, you ought to forgive them. Watch what happens. Listen, he says, and which one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? At midnight. And say to him, I love the way he sets this up. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He's still talking about the way we ought to pray, right? And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. Everybody's in the bed. The way these homes were set up was there was an upper loft where everybody slept. On the lower loft, on the lower floor, it was a dirt floor with animals in the house. I'm not talking about puppies and kittens. I'm talking about goats and cows. Does anybody in here live with animals in your house? I'm not talking about you women with your husbands. The problem is to get up and go get the love woke up the whole house. Everybody had to get up. So he's like, man, just go away. Just go away. Listen to this. I send you. He says, but not because it's his friend, but because of his importunity. Anybody know what that means? Persistence, right? Persistence. Keep on knocking, keep going. Do y'all remember the story about Benjamin? If you don't remember it, I'm going to tell it to you. If you're new here, I'm going to tell you a story. I worked night shift, and there was a little boy in our neighborhood. His name was Benjamin. I worked 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got home and I'd take my kids to school, and I'd come home and I'd lay down. If Tracy was gone, sometimes I would hear. Here's what I would do. He'll go away. I can't be bothered, Benjamin. I'm in the bed. A few seconds later. And I'd lay there. I'd go, man, just go away, dude. I don't want to get up. I'm tired. I'm so tired. And it would be quiet. It was a false hope every time. there would be like these seconds of quietness, and I would just picture him walking off the porch, and then I'd get up and I'd go down the hall, kick him off the porch. I wanted to. And I'd open the door, and in my nicest, meanest voice, I would say, "What, Benjamin? Are your kids home?" "No, Benjamin, they're at school. Why aren't you at school?" "Oh, okay." And he'd run away. And a couple days later, I'd lay down and, "Oh, there's no way that's him. There's no way that's him. There is no way." And I'd lay there. "Yep, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's absolutely him." And I'd get up and I'd open the door and I'd say, "What? Are your kids home? They're at school. What? They're not here." This would happen it's happened a lot. But I'm going to tell you what eventually happened. If Tracy wasn't home and I'd be in the bed after working 12 hours and driving an hour there and an hour home and a 14-hour, 15-hour day, I'm going to tell you what would happen. If I laid down and I heard, "I just got up. I was like, I get up. I'm getting up. He won't go away. He's not going to stop. He's just going to keep knocking." And I'd up there and say, "No, Benjamin, they're not here. See you, buddy." And I'd run back and get in bed. I didn't even play the silent game. I just got up and did it. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about persistence. Forget this stuff where, "Oh, if you just pray a prayer one time and you pray it again, then that's unbelief." No, you keep knocking. He said, "Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking." Benjamin didn't care what was going on. He knew my truck was there. He knew I was home, and he would not stop knocking until I answered. You got to get that attitude. I'm not going to stop until he answers. I know you're in there, God. I know you're in there. Importunity. But as I was studying this, I found out it meant something else along with persistence. And when I found this out, Dustin, I said, "Well, I know what I'm preaching Sunday." Persistence is one thing. Have you ever felt bad about calling somebody and asking them to do something? Yeah, you too. You know, it was weird. I was in business for myself for a long time, and people would owe me money, and I'd feel bad about calling and asking for it. Hey, how are you? It's me. The guy that remodeled your whole kitchen, remember? And you were there every day until payday, and somehow that day you weren't home. So weird. You call people. Like, "Man, I'm really ashamed to ask them, but I got to ask them." That's not what this is talking about. This word means shameless persistence. No shame in your game at all. You call up with boldness. Not, "Hey, it's me." It's, "Hey, it's me." Now, how are you going? He's telling us to pray like this. How are you going to pray like this? We don't pray like this. Do we? This is the way we should pray. He said we should come boldly to the throne. And you know what we're doing? We're like, "Hey, it's me. Hi. I was just wondering if you could do something for me. I'm about to lose my job, and I got to provide for my family, because you know your word says if I don't, I'm worse than the infidel, you know." So anywho... That's not how he's telling us to pray. That's not how he's telling us at all. He's saying, you come with shameless persistence. Shameless. How do you get rid of shame? Where'd shame come from? Where'd condemnation come from? Where'd sin come from? Garden? Sin? Shame? I don't understand it. The Bible says they were naked and not ashamed. If you're naked, you should be ashamed. Don't you agree? I don't know, I'm going to try it over here. I don't know what's going on that side. But they weren't ashamed until they sinned. And sin brought shame. There's a difference between shame and guilt. You know the difference? The difference is guilt is what you feel for something you have done wrong. You ever been guilty? Yeah. You know that feeling? You know you did something wrong and you feel guilty? Shame is different. You know what shame is? Shame is not, you don't feel bad because of something you did. You feel bad because of who you are. You walk around with shame. Not because you messed up, but you think that you're a failure. Right? Anybody? Well, I'm not going to ask God for anything because you know what? I'm a loser. I've done so much stupid stuff in my life. There's no way God's going to hear me. Well, guess what? The people that are getting their prayers answered, they've done stupid stuff too. See, you're sitting there thinking that there's some Navy SEAL Christian. Yeah. You think there's some I don't know, elite forces. And you know what they are? They're just like you. Elijah was a man of like passions. Was it Elisha? Sure. Elijah? Jersha. He said, shh. You said, shh. Anyway, one of those prophets was a man like passion. But you know what he did? Listen to this. Listen real close. He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly. You know why he prayed more earnestly? Because he knew who he was. And if you don't know who you are, you're not asking right. And if you don't ask right, you're not going to get it. You say, oh, yeah, yeah. No, no. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When a man is double-minded and he asks and he asks amiss, when you're praying and you're asking amiss, he said, don't you expect to receive anything from God? Are you double-minded? Let me tell you how you'll know. Sometimes you feel like you're saved and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like you've done good enough for God to answer you, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like, well, yeah, he forgave me. And sometimes you're like, man, I hope when I get there, I've got just enough to make it into pearly gates by the skin of my teeth. Let's back up a few verses, and I'm going to let you go. He said, forgive us as we forgive those. I think he set this up perfect. Then he says, when you ask, ask with shameless persistence. Because you know you've been forgiven. See, in my mind, that went over so much better than what it just did. In my mind, y'all was like, yeah, I'm forgiven. And y'all like, I still don't even know if I'm forgiven, preacher. Is that me? You mean I can go in there and ask? I can go in there with and knock and keep knocking. Hey, I know you're in there. I'm not going away because I know who I am and I know who you am. Matter of fact, you're the great I am. That's who you am. And I'm not leaving. If it's getting on your nerves, I don't know what to tell you. It's part of the sermon. I'm glad this lid's on here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know what I've did? I've had jobs before that I had to go to their house, Porky. And I really didn't need to go to that house. I had another job I needed to finish up, but I told them I'd be there. And I'd go by their house. And I'd knock. All right, let's go. They didn't answer. They'd call later, hey, I thought you was coming by. I did. I knocked. You didn't answer. Thank goodness you didn't answer. I think that's how some of us are praying. That's okay. It's okay. No, we need to get that Benjamin spirit. Not the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin down the street. That Benjamin. And say, I know who I am. I know I have a right to ask you. I know that you've cleansed me. I know that you bought me. You adopted me, and I got the same rights. I know who I am. So I'm just going to keep knocking, keep seeking. And we're going to have to pray and not be shameless about it. You can't walk into the presence of God with shame. You got to know that the blood has cleansed you enough to wash away all of your shame. And come on in. Man, when I was a kid, I used to. How many of y'all say prayers every night before you go to bed? How many have ever said, now lay me down to sleep? Pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. Oh, that if I die before I wake, that got her tore up. Then what was the rest of it? Pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. Timmy, this is weird. But I used to pray that prayer all the time when I was a kid. Right before I went to bed. And then I prayed for every dog that I ever owned. I would. I'd say, now lay me down to sleep. Pray to the Lord. If I die before I wake, pray to the Lord. God bless mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. Scratch, Rainbow, Blackjack, Pete, Jack, Laddie, Tom, Buck, Snoopy, Drippy, Spot, Kitty Cat. I mean, I went down the whole line just praying for all of them. I still remember their names because I prayed for them. What are you laughing at, David? I'd pray for them dogs and they would die. Y'all are the cruelest people in the world. I'm sitting here telling y'all that I prayed for my dogs and they died. And y'all are, we're having an altar call right now. And I thought something. I thought, man, why, you know, I'm praying. I'm praying for them. Why ain't this working out? What's going on? Then I realized, dogs die. Scratch died. Blackjack died. Rambo died. They all died. And I'm thinking, as a kid, why is this prayer not working? There's some things that are set in motion you're not going to change. And you got to understand that God's in control of that. But there's some things that the church can change. So let's change it. I really believe we could change the atmosphere, the whole atmosphere around Crab Orchard. I believe that. I believe we can pray where when people drive by, they feel the presence of God. It was just a few services ago, wasn't it, Doug? We was in here just having church and some guy come through the door. And some of y'all just looked at him and some of y'all looked scared to death. That's the truth. I watched you. I was preaching. But all of you looked. He came in. He was like, y'all remember? Is that what he did? He was like, he said, yeah. He said, I heard something going on in here from outside. I had to come in here and check it out. I don't want him to have to hear it. I want him to be able to feel it. And I think we can change that. We can't change Black Jack's fate. But we can change some people's. Let's pray like we mean it. Let's pray with fervor. Let's pray knowing who we are and be shameless about it. God, I know. I don't want to get ripped off. I know there's been great revivals in the past, even. I know there has. I'm saying, God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. As they sing this song, if you need prayer, come up, get prayer. We're getting ready to have a baptism. Go ahead.